You have your Bibles, open them to Matthew, the 6th chapter. The very first passage of Scripture that I ever memorized was what we ordinarily call the Lord's Prayer. Very few Christians cannot recite it by memory, even though they have not studied it, perhaps, for a memory verse, because it has become so familiar to us. But the Lord's Prayer does not begin with Matthew 6:9. The prayer passage begins with Matthew 6:6. When you pray, go into your room. Close the door. Pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Don't pray before men so that others will reward you. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what your need is before you ask Him. And then Jesus gives this model prayer. This is how you should pray. Over the last 35, 34 years, ever since I've been teaching publicly, various phases, I have spoken time and time and time again on prayer. Prayer is the very heart of our Christian faith. I've given definitions for prayer. I ask you to write them down. Many of you have. Definitions are correct. I have basically said prayer is a two-part element. Talking to God, hearing from God. Little phone call up here is essentially what prayer is. Now I understand that while all of that is right, there is so much more involved than simply a casual chat with God. Many of you, I know, have come into that same dimension. Many of you are much further down the road than I am. But over the last 2.5 weeks, I've learned things about prayer that you don't learn by reading books on prayer. Until he or she gets desperate. Until you reach that place of helplessness. Total helplessness. Does prayer really begin to come into effect? Talking to God, listening to God. Let me take just a minute with you, and then I want Jackie to come and share just a little bit out of this, and then we're going to close out with some prayer time tonight before we leave. My first reaction when the internal medicine doctor sat me down in his little office on June 29 and said, "You have something which is inoperable and incurable," and said the prognosis is not good, which was a rather kind way of saying medical procedure, medical statistics say you're going to die soon. My first reaction to that was a reaction of anger. I remember getting on the elevator at that medical building down on Palm Bay or Babcock. South of Palm Bay Road. Getting on the elevator on the 3rd floor to ride back down. And my first reaction was that of anger. Anger not to God, but anger at the evil one. There was something boiling up inside of me that says, "You can't do this to me." And then by the time I got in the car, there was a concept of shock that settled in. And I remember sitting out in my truck in the parking lot Jackie had not been home when the doctor had called, and I had gone up by himself just to sit there and get this little report, and then I'd left his office. And remember, it was threatening skies. It was just beginning to rain, and sitting in the front seat of my truck and just kind of shaking my head, trying to clear enough of this out to where I could make any sense out of it all. And then pulling out onto the street to drive home, and suddenly there was the only way I know to call this is a spirit of intercession that fell on me. That every living thing suddenly was precious. Birds, trees, blades of grass. All of those things suddenly became extremely precious. Anything that was living became precious. And I suddenly caught myself with compassion for the people around me. Praying out loud in the truck as I was driving home in my pickup for the people that I passed, going by houses and kind of reaching my hand out as I passed them. Oh God, bless those people in that house. And it remained all the way home as I drove down my road and pulled into my driveway and saw my children's houses close by and began praying for them even before I got into the house. And that thing has remained. There has been a sense of desperation in the prayer time as we've cried out to God, and I will not go into all of the detail about that. But the big thing that has happened to me has been this whole concept of praying for others. Over the last 2 weeks, Jackie and I have spent more time in prayer than we have ever spent in all of our lives, probably collectively. We've not prayed together. She's wanted it so desperately. But I've been so busy with the Lord's work that I didn't have time to pray with her. And we've repented of that quite quickly and moved on. Not only moved on, but it has become a necessity. I mean, all of life now is caught up in prayer with her. Not only with her, but with anybody else who comes in the house. I mean, don't come to my house unless you're prepared to get sucked up into prayer, because that's all we're doing. That's all we're doing. Not just for this cancer that the doctors say I have in my gut, but that's all we're doing. Is prayer. I mean, there's become nothing else. There is nothing else except to seek His presence, cry out for His presence, enjoy His presence. Now, I mentioned to you this morning, those of you who were here, that this week I began to hear little words back from God. I went for a full week and didn't hear anything from Him. And it's as though He were saying, get a few things straightened up that you know need to be taken care of. Then we can talk. And we went to work on it. I'm sorry. I'm regretful. I don't have anything to say. I apologize to you and to God for not having taken care of those things years ago. But there's a lot of things you don't take care of until you think you're going to die. And I've been real fortunate. And that we have spent the most glorious 2 weeks in our life getting things right. They weren't really bad, but they just weren't right. And if they're not right, I guess they're really bad. But taking care of a whole lot of things between ourselves and between family and between a lot of others. It's amazing. As we have prayed for others, others have called us. Some that we were estranged from. There, somewhere there were some tensions in our lives. And one by one, those things have been cleared up just as a result of prayer. And then this week, I began hearing little words from God. I wrote them down in a little book, just one day at a time. July the 6th, while I was on the CAT scan table at Holmes Hospital, sliding back and forth through that donut that was taking pictures of my insides. I heard God say, for the first time since all of this started, what Satan meant for evil, I will turn to good. And then while I was going back and forth through this thing, to hear him say, now you will see my mighty hand at work in your life. I wrote it down. And then the 9th of July, last Monday morning, coming up out of sleep, just as I was coming from sleep to a consciousness, began picking up these little words. Just tiny things, and then they were gone, and that was all. Now, I was very cautious not to try to make anything up. This is not a time to make things up. But Monday morning, he said, rest in me, and I will direct you. Tuesday morning, he said, as I woke at 5 o'clock, do not fear. Things are not as they seem. I will watch over you. Wednesday morning, July 11, just 3 words. Just as I woke, do not worry. As I look at Wednesday, I can see what he was saying, because Wednesday was a tough day for me. I worried through the day. Should have listened to God. By the time the day was over, I'd gotten in bed early. It was a bad day. I was down because I'd gotten a lot of medical reports that day and a lot of things had happened. And I was crying out to God and crying out to God and crying out to God. It's as though he said, I've already talked to you. You don't need to cry out to me anymore. The words already come back. Prayer is that kind of communication. I found myself wandering and talking, speaking to him, either with the understanding or in tongues, back and forth both ways. There are times when it's too deep to say anything with the understanding, and so I don't know how I need to pray, and so I begin to let the Holy Spirit pray through me in the area of prayer language. But I'd really had a bad day, and Wednesday night, after we'd gotten in bed, the telephone rang. It was Gordon. Almost 10 o'clock at night. And Gordon said, there's a doctor that's called from St. Pete, an oncologist, a cancer specialist. And Jackie Wicks, who's a member of our church, had met him on a mission trip someplace. She had called him, and somehow he got through to Gordon, and Gordon called me. And I told Jackie, the moment we hung up, call him back. I think this is of God. So she called him at his home, and we talked for 30 minutes. And he assured me, he reassured me about things that I had done concerning medical treatment and putting things off and being deliberate. And I'm thinking, gosh, I don't know how fast this thing is growing, you know, maybe it's going to eat me up tonight, you know. And I really didn't know. Maybe it's going to break through and spread and go in other directions. And that was all this stuff that was running through me. And he said, the doctor said, no, no, no. He said, be deliberate at every turn. Stop and listen to God at every turn. He says, that's the only thing you can do. It's a spirit-filled guy who's a member of an Assembly of God church in St. Petersburg. Went to bed that night. Went to sleep that night feeling better. July the 12th, Thursday morning, woke at 5 o'clock. Got 4 words from God that morning. See, I told you. That's all he said. And then Friday morning, and I related that to you this morning, those of you who were here, he gave me 2 words. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. And then the second word that simply said, cooperate with me, and I will heal you. We're here tonight just as a simple testimony of the fact that God answers prayer. That whatever winning we have done in life, have achieved in life, and whatever winning we are achieving now, and whatever winning we will achieve, is through prayer. Not by us, by tuning in with Jesus, who is interceding for us. Now, there are certain things that I know God wants me to do. He wants me to reject Satan. He wants me to reject curses that are put on me. He wants me to pray for my wife and pray for my family. He wants me to intercede. All of those things are things that I must do. But God is the one who both initiates and answers prayer. Not by anything we do. Not by our much repetition, as Jesus said here. Not by praying in public. But it's by letting Him read our hearts and know what the condition is there. And saying unto Him, in the long run, all I want is You. Now, we've prayed specifically for little things because we're weak. And it's been interesting to see, as I read some of those little notes to you a few moments ago, how God has blessed us in our weakness. I was up this morning praying in the shower. Lord, I got to come to this church service this morning, and I really need to be praying about that. And here I am caught up still in all this stuff that's going on the inside of me, trying to throw off the personal anxiety so I can hear enough from God so that I can speak the Word of God when I get there, and saying, Lord, if ever I needed to hear another word for You, I want it now. I heard it Monday through Friday, and then Saturday and Sunday there was nothing, and I haven't heard anything from You, and I need something now, and I'm standing in the shower just, And He didn't say anything, at least not like He has been saying it, not one of those rhema things that just came into my mind that I almost heard the words themselves. But there was this deep impression of He said, I gave those to You for You. But now You're going to stand on something far bigger than that, because I've already spoken. And You're to stand on what I've already said. That's where we're standing tonight, on what He has already said. And knowing that when the little scare times come, that He'll meet us again and carry us over those humps. Earl Paul called me this afternoon from Chapel Hill Harvester Church in Atlanta, large, independent, charismatic church, 10, 12, 15,000 people up there. And he said, when I gave them the word last Sunday, he said they went to the knees. He says the whole church went to their knees in weeping and travailing and praying for You. And he said, I need to call you back tonight. He said, it's so heavy on my heart so that I can bring reports to what's going on up there. We've had other churches out all across this nation, and I have thought, how many times has this church ever prayed for somebody else who's in trouble outside of this congregation? See, God is bringing some things to the surface. Of saying we need to be a praying body. This whole earth, as Tennyson said, is bound by gold chains about the feet of God. That prayer is everything that we have. I got really deeply concerned Friday when I realized that the appointment had been made for us to go to Houston, and I don't have that many friends in Houston, and we, you know, suddenly we're going to be alone, and I'm going to be out from underneath the covering of this body. It's been so nice to have people around me, and suddenly we're going to be out there in never land someplace. And I made a couple of phone calls to a couple of the big-time preachers in Houston who have really been praying for me and said, hey, we're coming to your city. And they said, well, when you get there, why, give us a call, you know. And I said, that's not what I want. I need more than that. And this afternoon, I really felt led to call the guy who was supposed to speak here today, Mike Williams, black pastor, pastor of a little black church in Houston. And I called him this afternoon. I said, Mike was scheduled to be here for the morning and the evening services, and we called him off. And so I just called him, and I said, Mike, he had been praying for us. He knew why. Michael Thompson had already called him and had told him that this was not the right time for him to come. And I called Mike, said, Mike, I'm just really sorry we had to do that, but I want to bless you and thank you that you understand, and I know that you had already made plans, and just thank you for that. And said, let you know that we're coming to Houston. And he said, when do you arrive? And I said, Tuesday afternoon. He said, what time? And I said, 4:40. He said, what airline? And I said, Continental. He said, I'll be there. And I thought, here's a little black pastor from Houston who said, the most important thing in my life is for me to be there. He says, well, I'll meet you. I'll bring you in. We'll take you in. We'll get you tucked into where you're going. And hey, I want you to know that you got a home, a church home here in Houston when you're when you're here. So we're going to back under the covering again, and I know other things will open. That was an answer to prayer, just one of those little needs that we didn't know how we were going to handle, and I was getting anxious about it, and suddenly I'm here as a testimony tonight that God answers prayers.